as children of God. We only become friends with God through the law, because baptism, the sacrament, makes us children of God. But after the disobedience, the law brings us back to that order, to that obedience, and leads us back towards the divine. So the sacrament, then the sacrament of baptism, heals us, heals the soul, and it orders what was broken through disobedience. Now the sacrament restores and prepares us to receive this grace, the grace of living in the divine will. So it's a sequence, almost a way of reconstructing what was destroyed in us. So that's the way we have to see it. Then the law, a way to come back to God, a way that brings us back to the order. And we know that the books of Luisa Picaretta, the Book of Heaven, is a call to the creature to go back to the order. So it's complementary, all of this. Today we will continue with our meditation, our class on the Ten Commandments. And today we are going to see the sixth commandment. I think we left last week, we covered until the fifth commandment, you shall not kill. Now we are going to talk about the sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. What leads to adultery? We have to remember, we have to see some of the things that leads the creature to adultery. We know lust. Lust is one of the things that leads the creature into committing adultery, into committing impure acts. This commandment is for all of us, is for those who are married, for those who are single, for those who are in religious life. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not commit impure acts. And we know that after the fall, the soul was infested with so many illnesses, with so many infirmities, and one of these infirmities is lust. Lust that leads into committing adultery. Let's talk about this in the context of the sacrament of marriage. The sacrament of marriage that is blessed by God, the main purpose of a sacrament of marriage is to be fruitful, to multiply, to have family, to give new life. And for that, we are going to go to Genesis chapter 1, number 27, in which we see that God created the sacrament of marriage. And after making man in his image and likeness, we see that God says, gives the commandment to them. And it says, the Bible says, so God created man in his own image. Last week, I explained where the image of God is in the soul, in every one of us. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. So he created male and female, and God blessed them. Notice that he created them different. Then he blessed them, creating the sacrament of marriage right there at the beginning in the book of Genesis. So that's why the sacrament of marriage is so sacred, because it is instituted, it is created by God. And we don't have time to discuss this, but we see that the sacrament of marriage is one of the two sacraments that was created in the state of holiness, in the state of immaculacy before Adam and Eve disobeyed and lost the gift in which they were living. Again, that's for another class. But then after God created them, he says he blessed them and he ordered them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. So there is the commandment for the sacrament of marriage. The main purpose of the sacrament of marriage is to be fruitful, to multiply, to give new life, to be a channel so that God can bring new life through you, through this union, that it is only in this union in which life can spring forth, in which new life can be created. any other union, we cannot even give them the dignity of calling them marriage, those kind of unions. So why? Because God didn't intend that, right? And those kind of unions, they cannot give life. So it's very clear. Then you shall not commit adultery. In the state of grace in which Adam and Eve were created, they didn't experience lust. They didn't experience the desire for anything else because they were totally in the state of immaculacy. We know that lust is a consequence of the fall. And after baptism, we retain something that is called concupiscence. Concupiscence is the inclination towards sin. It's that thing that pulls us back always, that inclines us into sin. So we have to fight that inclination. We have to fight that inclination. And for that, we have the Ten Commandments that tells us exactly, this is not right. You shall not commit adultery. Now we have the sacrament too that gives us grace. And through the gift of living in the divine will, if we prepare our souls, we dispose our souls. By receiving this gift, of course, this gift will eclipse all these inclinations, these sinful inclinations in us, because the virtues will grow in us. So naturally, we will have the tendency not to do this, but if we do not work that in ourselves, if we do not make the effort that in which the human will has to be involved, then I don't see how we can overcome this. Of course, God is able to do anything, but the normal way in which our Lord works, we can say 99% of the times, is in this way. There are specific cases in which he bestows grace to those saints and gives those gifts that he wants to bestow upon them. But 99% of the time, this is the way that we have to acquire that state of holiness. So in the sacrament of matrimony, those who are married have to be very careful, because adultery is something that destroys the sacrament of marriage. In the sacrament of marriage, you have to exercise chastity, purity, and faithfulness. Chastity, purity is possible in the sacrament of marriage. Why? Because you belong only to each other. The perfect place to exercise and to express that love for each other in the act, right, in the marital act, is in the sacrament of marriage. Any other place is forbidden. So this is something that, again, parents and grandparents, they have to teach the children, because in today's society, this is not highly regarded, is disregarded, right? We see that everything in the world invites us to break basically this commandment. So the breaking of this specific commandment brings disorders. And this is how you have to see the law. Everything that goes against the divine law, against the Ten Commandments, brings spiritual disorders into the soul. It decreases. It takes away our dignity in which we were created. It makes us less than what we were supposed to be and what God intends for us to be. So again, there has to be this fight, this constant fighting, the human will to be overcome, for the human will to be pulled back again, to be attached to the divine will. And this is how we have to see the Ten Commandments. Each one of the capital sins that we see, the deadly sins, they in somehow they are involved into breaking of the law. In this particular case, we see that lust, right? is there always. And in the sacrament of marriage, when somebody is unfaithful, right, is committing adultery. When somebody is unfaithful to his vocation, that's adultery also. When somebody who is not married and is having relations outside, right, without being married, is being in a union, that's against the sixth commandment. We don't have the need, even if we understand this, there is no need for us to mention the other kinds of unions because they are totally wrong, right? So we are already understand that that goes against the sixth commandment. And one of the things that we have to understand is that this commandment invites us to be pure and is very well connected with the Gospels. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, in the Beatitudes, our Lord Jesus proclaims, "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." Purity. This is the Beatitudes again, Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. "Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God." Purity is something that it really makes the soul flourish. When the soul is pure, right? When the soul is pure, there is a certain fragrance of holiness that pleases God, because God is so pure. And this is something that we have to see, just in the same way that heaven is perfection, because in heaven, the will of God is already done. It reigns in heaven. And everybody who is in heaven is fixed in the will of God. So if heaven is perfection and nothing impure can enter into heaven, because it's the kingdom of the divine will, well, this gift of living in the divine will cannot descend into our hearts, into our souls, if we are not pure. In the same way that we cannot enter into heaven if we are impure, the kingdom of the divine will, the kingdom of heaven, cannot enter and abide in us, cannot flourish if we are impure. I don't know if this makes sense, but just look at the case of the Blessed Mother. All pure, all holy. She made that gift descend into her. She was prepared to possess that gift. So for us, if we want to really receive this gift of living in the divine will, we have to look into our souls. We have to ask God for the grace to look really into our souls and to have that light, to be able to identify in our souls what is not right, what is lacking, what we need to correct. And we don't have to be discouraged, you know. We know that the flesh is always pulling us back. It's always pulling us back, the sinful inclination, the concupiscence. But we must not become desolate. We must not become desperate. We must repent and align ourselves to the life of grace, going through the sacrament of confession, seek reparation. And for that, we have a wonderful way to do reparation, the hours of the Passion, that are parts of the writings of Luisa Picaretta. So repentance, confession, reparation through the hours of the Passion, and now leaves in behind and really make a decision to leave sin behind and to ask God, to beg God for this gift to be bestowed upon you with every single act, with every single act. Our Lord says to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. What are the fruits of the human will? You remember last class we talked about the fruits of the human will? Anybody? the fruits of a human will, we said are the acts, because the human will produces acts, right? Every act that you do requires the involvement, the action of your human will. When you got up this morning, you have to decide between wearing this or that, between going to church or staying at home, between staying in bed or getting up. So your human will is always involved. So the fruits of your human will are the acts. So the Lord also calls us to be fruitful and multiply. Multiply our human acts united to his will. But because the disobedience of our first parents, that will now is disordered, is corrupted. The soul has been filled with so much illnesses, envy, laziness, gluttony, lust, all of these seven deadly sins that are in our souls, they are part of the consequence. So we have to fight against those. For that, we have the Ten Commandments. And again, I want you to see your soul. Last week, we talked about the soul as being a magnificent temple, right? This magnificent temple that has an altar in the center from which God receives praise, glory, honor, adoration from us, from the creatures. This altar that is being consecrated only to God. Remember, on this altar, nothing else can be. Nobody else can be. This is the first commandment, to love God with all our heart, our mind, our souls, to have no idols before us, right? So on this altar has to be consecrated to God. And the more we grow in the life of virtue, and the more we become aware of the Ten Commandments, the divine law, the more light this temple receives. Whenever we commit sin, and when it's grave, when it's mortal sin, and it's a great matter, we know that mortal sin is a great matter, then if we remain in sin, if we know that something is sinful, that we are going against the commandments, and we continue to do it, we are desecrating the temple of God. We are desecrating that altars. And eventually that will bring us to a desolation. What is a desolation? A desolation is that God can leave that place, can abandon that place. Remember in the Old Testament, God, the presence of God left the temple in the crucifixion, right? The Holy of Holies. God left the Holy of Holies. So now the temple that is our soul, that altar that belongs to God, when it is really desecrated, then we run the risk of being desolated, to experience desolation, meaning that God can leave the temple, can leave that soul due to sin. And we see that even in our world, we are getting closer to all of this. So we really have to go back to the basis if we want to achieve in our souls this spirituality. Remembering the soul is the most important thing. The soul is the most important thing. And if we have sin, we have the sacrament of confession that can restore us to grace, that can cleanse us. If we have been walking in the life of vice, it's time to leave sin behind, to adhere the fatherly voice that is in the Ten Commandments, and to be honest, to sacrifice the flesh and to live according to the Spirit, as St. Paul will tell us. All of this as a preparation. Remember that everything in sacred scripture is a preparation for what is next. In the Old Testament, the people were waiting for the coming of the Messiah. We are not waiting for the coming of the Messiah anymore. We are waiting for the fulfillment of the Our Fathers, for the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Jesus already came and opened the doors of heaven for us. But it is up to us if we want to receive that salvation. So salvation is available for all of us now, but it's not forced upon anybody. This gift is available for everybody, but it's not forced to anybody either. It's freely given and it has to be freely received. But in order for our Lord to bestow this gift, we have to build upon what we have received all the way back from sacred scripture. So the Ten Commandments is a way to enlighten ourselves towards the receiving this gift. So, you know, chastity, modesty, faithfulness, temperance, prudence, these are all needed so in order for us to be faithful to God, to our vocation, so not to commit adultery. One of the things that go against against the commandment, the fifth commandment, you shall not commit adultery, is the immorality that we are seeing, is the relations among the same-sex people. This is highly, highly detested by God, and we see this in the Old Testament. In the books of Luisa Picaretta, we see that our Lord Jesus, many times he tells Luisa Picaretta that he is the same, that he does not change, that he is love. But he's also justice. And the same God of the Old Testament that we see in the Old Testament is the same God that we see in the New Testament. So the same sins that God detests in the Old Testament, he detests those sins in the New Testament. So there is no reason for us to think that what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, now it is pleasing to God. By no way we can say that. Because that will be against the teachings of Christ himself. So he tells us he didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. So those same commandments, they apply to all of us. So we have to be careful in all of this. And we have to be careful not to support anything that goes against the sixth commandment, anything that will lead people into adultery. We really want to possess this gift. In the book of heaven, let me see, I put it back there, sorry. Just a minute, right here. So in the book of heaven, I want just to share with you this passage that comes from volume 18, December 2019-25, in which our Lord Jesus describes to Luisa Picaretta how Adam was growing in the likeness of God. Last week, I explained where the image of God is in us, and that dignity is in all of us. But in this passage, our Lord Jesus tells Luisa Picaretta that Adam possessed his will. He says, Adam possessed my will. And with the possession of my will, he was growing in the likeness of his creator. And he grew so much as to form the enchantment of all heaven. And all felt honored to serve him. Because he possessed this gift of the divine will, and every single act that he did, he was growing in the likeness. Everything was being multiplied spiritually in him too. Everything redoubled and redoubled and redoubled. But remember, he was in the state of immaculacy, in the state of grace. He didn't have any inclination towards sin at that time. So if we see the divine law as a way to bring us back to that order in which we were created to that obedience, we have to see that we have to align ourselves to adhere to the divine law. And then in order for us to possess this gift, to be able to grow in his likeness with every single act that we do, we have to be in that state of grace as much as we can, and at least the more aware we are of sin in our souls, then we have to really make a commitment and to make a point to change that sin, to ask the Lord to help us change that into a virtue, right? Because virtue is the opposite of vice and sin. So this is what I wanted to say about the sixth commandment. All kinds of impure acts that refer to this commandment, we have to really name them and then to get rid of them and try to overcome them with the help of grace, with the help of the sacraments, and then to keep asking our Lord Jesus to help us with his grace and to live in this gift of the divine will. And it takes a process, it takes time, but it really requires for us to be aware of the things that oppose this gift, okay? It's 6:30 now. I just want to open this for a little discussion and then perhaps we can finish our class today. Just a little announcement also that because of Christmas and the New Year,